A new report on the dangers of global warming says the country is headed for strong heat waves in coming decades that will affect cities and farmers and threaten wildlife with extinction. The report, called More Extreme Heat Waves, Global Warming's Wake-Up Call, is sponsored by medical, environmental, and civil rights organizations. It also lists 30 different American cities and breaks them up into three different categories of vulnerabilities to heat waves in the future. And the first category includes cities like New York, Los Angeles, Phoenix, Boston, and Philadelphia. Dr. Peter Wilk is the Executive Director for Physicians for Social Responsibility.
They're broken up sort of statistically, not because we thought one was ourselves more important than another. It's the combination of the factors in those four columns. So there's a numerical value attached to the average number of days per summer with oppressive heat, with heat in a dangerous level. Added into that factored the number of households without central air conditioning, because no matter how hot it is, if you have central air conditioning, you're better off than if you don't. And then in addition, heat from global warming causes production of ozone at ever-increasing levels the hotter it gets. But that still varies from community to community depending on how much of the local pollution is from automobile traffic versus coal-fired power plants. So the ground-level ozone level is factored in. And finally, what's the percentage of poverty in each city? Because urban areas with a higher percentage of poor people are going to be more prone, in fact, to suffering from these health effects of heat waves. So when you combine all four of those factors, the Tier 1 cities are those that are at the greatest collective risk.
Now, how do heat waves affect agriculture? Because I know that's listed in your report as well.
It's clear that plants are adapted to grow in a particular climate. And if they're getting more or less rain early or late in the season, if spring is coming earlier, all of that makes a difference and is reported to cut down on agricultural crop production. If I could throw in an anecdote, actually, that I am familiar with.
Sure.
Before I came to Washington, D.C., I was living in Maine for 30 years in a rural area. And one of our neighbors was a maple syrup producer. And he had on his shelf, he had started to collect. I mean, this is a down-home, third-generation Mainer who had little bottles up. For every 100 gallons of maple syrup, he would put a bottle up. And you could see this basic trend downward that over the last 20 years, he's been making less and less maple syrup because the climate conditions have changed. And it's that kind of thing that's happening to agriculture generally.
Now, one of the recommendations in the report says is to make cities cooler and greener. How does that happen?
It has to do both with use of energy sources. So, for example, in a city where all public vehicles burn natural gas or are hybrids, they're going to be producing less local air pollution and contribute less to sort of the immediate warming effects. In addition, there's building insulation codes, construction codes that need to be updated so that buildings both use less air conditioning, therefore draw less on the local power plants, but also radiate less heat. Because as you're trying to keep a building cool, if you're running the air conditioning, what it's doing is it's taking the heat out from inside of the building and putting it outside through vents and so on, and it results in the average urban city having 10 degrees hotter temperature than the immediately surrounding suburbs and countryside.
Dr. Wilk, right now, the House of Representatives passed a couple of months ago an energy bill, better known as a cap-and-trade bill. The Senate is going to begin discussing that in a few weeks. How important is that legislation to trying to help reduce the effects of global warming?
We believe it is absolutely central. Physicians for Social Responsibility works to protect human life from the gravest threat to health and survival. Global warming is one of those threats, and we are hoping that this report will help a little to alert citizens to the danger, the health risks, and mobilize them to contact their senators and congressmen to support some bold leadership to actually meet these challenges. This is really one of the greatest health emergencies that we've had to face. It requires more than business as usual, and the Senate, which is where the legislation currently is going to be in September, needs to know that. There are a couple of steps that we strongly urge the Senate to take. In this case, it's Physicians for Social Responsibility's position that they ought to be putting stringent regulation on carbon dioxide emissions, and in particular that there ought to be a moratorium on any new coal-fired power plants, and they should be really discouraging production of new coal-fired power plants. We also think that the Environmental Protection Agency needs to be given the authority to continue regulating carbon dioxide. They have that authority currently, and they need to continue to have that authority. The bottom line, perhaps I'm getting a little technical for some of your listeners, but the bottom line is that the Senate needs to take bold and decisive action. This is not time for business as usual. It's time to prevent a crisis of heat waves, disease, suffering, and death. We can do this. It's a problem created by human beings, and human beings can solve this problem. It's up to us.